welcome to our last session. So here we'll be focusing on managing those really stubborn, difficult behaviours. So we look at how to use time out and in and consequences to the best effect with an anxious child. So we're hoping that you're getting more confident to at persuading your children to engage in more of the good behaviours that you want to see. In this session, we're going to start with looking at consequences. So if children fail to follow commands, what should you do? So we're going to discuss now consequences for anxious children. We tend to use the word consequences rather than the word punishment, as we want to keep away from the idea of punishment and retribution. So the idea is to teach your children that sometimes we all have to do things that we don't want to do, or we get an unpleasant consequence. Indeed, the more naturally the consequence can follow on from the behaviour, the better the child will learn. What we're going to be looking at now is some of the consequences that we feel are not very good. So first one we're going to look at is maybe cutting your holiday short. So if there's been some behaviour and you suggest to your children that you're going to go home early, this is usually not possible, but also maybe it's too big a punishment for, you know, what's happened.
Well, it's punishing the whole family.
It's punishing the whole family as well, definitely. Maybe another one would be threatening to send your children to their room, which we would suggest that children's rooms are their sanctuary, but also if they have TVs in them or all their toys, then it's not going to be a consequence. Wait till your father gets home is quite a big one. So if you say to your child, right, you've done something wrong, so wait till your father gets home, this gives the impression that mum isn't in control of the situation, and possibly she may have forgotten about, you know, what the consequence was. And even if she does remember, you know, if dad comes through the door after a hard day, he's not going to be in the best mood to be able to deal with it. And he ends up giving a consequence for something that he doesn't really understand, so it may not be fair. And it holds the threat over a child all day, and especially this could be emotionally cruel for a child who is really anxious. Another one, maybe we're going to give your pet cat away, which seems quite a big one, but you know, it can be cruel. But if it is possible, if the child is very unkind to the cat and it keeps going on over a period of time.
We've had parents say they're going to give the rabbit back before.
So I think that gives you a flavour of consequences that quite often we can't follow through on, and we say them to get our children to stop doing the behaviour that they're doing. But I think it's sometimes most of these are difficult to follow through, so actually they're not consequences at all, I think, is what we're suggesting. So we're going to look at the rules for consequences.
Just as praise and giving rewards have rules, so we've got some rules for consequences as well. So consequences should be given out as soon as possible, and this is particularly important the younger the child is. Just in the same way with praise, that they link it with the behaviour, it's the same with consequences. They need to understand why they're having a consequence and remember what the behaviour is, so as soon as possible.
Okay. Consequences should be over quickly and then forgotten. Obviously, if a consequence is going on, it's normal for a child to be sulky or upset with their parents. And while this is okay for a short time, it's potentially damaging if it goes on for long periods. It's not good for any child, but particularly anxious children, to have long periods of feeling miserable. And while the consequence is going on, things are likely to be fraught between the child and the parent, and possibly the whole family. So a calm, friendly family atmosphere with open channels of communication is vital for children's mental health, and in particular important for anxious children. So therefore it's important that the consequences are over quickly and then completely forgotten about by everyone.
And I think that can be really hard to do. I can remember that, because children often seem to recover much more quickly than we do. But it, as Victoria said, it is cruel and not helpful to continue things on or add another consequence on top. Mm. So you've already issued a consequence, yeah. And then later on the child wants to do something and it's no, you can't,
yeah.
Something you would normally allow,
yeah.
Because they've been naughty. It very much is about taking that tomorrow is another day attitude, yeah. That you've issued the consequence, it's over and done with. So consequences should fit the behaviour and should never be cruel. So we might call those logical consequences. So an example might be that your two children are fighting over what to watch on television. You might just turn television off for 10 minutes. So try and make it a consequence that relates to the behaviour. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And certainly shouldn't be cruel or in any way damaging to the child just because you're feeling so angry.
Mm. So it shouldn't take away their basic rights, really. Of
absolutely.
Go to bed without dinner.
Yes.
It would be a difficult one, couldn't it, as well? I think we need to be careful.
Yeah.
So the consequences for the child's good, not the parents. So many parents find that giving out a harsh consequence makes them feel better. That's how I felt. And it can surge some of your anger towards the child. However, it's worth just thinking about what this will have long term.
Yeah.
You know, if it's for yours and it makes you feel better, and the child then feels out of control again, they're going to be very hostile towards the parent and is less, not more likely to comply with commands from requests in the future.
Yeah, yeah. Make sure the consequence really is a consequence. So children are different, and just in the way that we always say, make sure the reward is something the child really wants. The consequence does need to be something that will matter to the child without it being harmful or taking away their rights. Mm. But if, for example, you say you're not going to have any pudding and actually your child really isn't fussed about puddings, then that's not going to be a consequence that really means anything.
Mm. Consequences should not be humiliating. They should encourage the child to think about their behaviour and work out how to do that better next time, which we'll look at in a moment when we talk about time in. These would be more difficult if they're feeling very humiliated or angry. So, for instance, a consequence that shows them up in front of friends or family is likely to be ineffective. If it is necessary to dole a consequence when there are lots of people around, the parents should try to get the child alone in a quiet place to do it and ensure the consequence can be completed without great embarrassment. Which, when we move on to time out and time in, that would be very much time in,
yeah.
That you would take your child somewhere quiet and help them to discuss the consequences and the behaviour and help them to think about how to do it better next time.
Yeah.
So it's sort of time out but in.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And consequences should give the child the chance to show you that they have learnt the correct behaviour. So don't forget, when we're using consequences, we're using them not, as we've said, not as a punishment to make ourselves feel better because we've crossed that they've behaved in an unwanted way, but we're using them as a way to help a child learn how they're expected to behave. So it's important that they get a chance to show you that. So going back to the example of the two children fighting over the television and what to watch and arguing over the remote control, you might turn the television off for 10 minutes and then it can go back on again so that your children can show you that they have learnt from the consequence. Mm. If the fighting continues, then it needs to go off for longer or another consequence. But if you don't give your child a chance, so if the television's off for 24 hours, that's it, been fighting, it's off, they don't give a chance, there's not a chance for them to show you that they've learned.
Mm. Mm. Giving in straight away, so we talk about, you know, sometimes a battle of wills with a child begin, and however, you know, for many families who see the parents will give a command, and when the child fails to comply or moan about it, they will give it repeatedly and then eventually give up. So we talk about, you know, what would the child have learned from this? The child would have learned that if they just ignore parents long enough or moan long enough, the parents will give in. So we say to parents that sometimes we all give a command and then realise we haven't got the time or energy to reinforce it. This is normal. The best thing to do is give in straight away. This way, although not the ideal outcome, for the parents, the child would not have been trained to dig their heels in to get what they want,
yeah,
which is when we go back to the ignoring, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
You're not yeah. strong enough to see it through to the end, then give in. Then it's your choice, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I like this next one. I find this very interesting and sort of, I had to think about it a lot. Backing down later. So sometimes children will commit a misdemeanor, they're given a consequence, and for whatever reason, either they're genuinely very sorry or they want to try and get around you, their behaviour will then be really good and they'll say, I've been really good now, can I not have the consequence? So let me just read you an example from here. So it says, one teenager had not come home in time to go to the dentist as instructed by his parents. So they agreed that he could not watch the big football match on TV that evening. He was very upset about this and made huge efforts to make amends. He did all the washing up, tidied and dusted, even did some vacuuming, and was generally a delightful model child all afternoon. The parents asked us whether it would be okay to let him watch the match. And we always ask what the group think. And we usually split on this, probably more going towards saying, oh yeah, yes I would.
Yeah, you know, done all that work.
He's done all that. And I think possibly before learning about the programme, I possibly would have said that as well. But we would suggest that you can reward that behaviour another way, but you had issued the consequence and you need to stick to that. You can certainly offer some other reward for all the cleaning and tidying up that he's done, but if you let the child or the young person watch the match, then really you're just saying, okay, you can misbehave or do unwanted things as long as you then make up for it at a later date. And that's not really the message we want our children to learn.
It feels that it's slightly manipulative.
Yes.
That they're manipulating you. It's like, oh, I can do what I want and then I'll just clean up and do all these things and you'll let me have what I want. So
yeah.
We feel that you know, if it's been issued, it needs to be stopped.
Absolutely. But offer some other reward in recognition.
I think the next one is kind of a bit like that, but not. It says sometimes parents give out a consequence and then realise they have done the wrong thing in the heat of the moment. So it's not unusual to overreact. So although we think the parents should stick to what they say most of the time, we agree that very occasionally it's okay to change your mind about a consequence.
Mm.
So if it is necessary to do this, the parents should explain to the child that in the heat of the moment, they overreacted and would like to make the consequence less harsh. So if you've grounded them for a year, which is impossible, it's very much saying, okay, I've thought about it, and actually that's a harsh consequence. Mm. It says, however, parents should be careful that this is not done in response to the child's moaning. Otherwise, there is a risk that they will be reinforcing the moaning behaviour.
Yeah.
So you can make the consequence less and when you've thought about it, but not if the child has gone on and on.
Not as a response to nagging, yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so hopefully that's been helpful discussion on consequences, and we're going to have a little talk and look at time out and now and time in as well.
Okay, mm-hmm. So in recent times, and I think this probably would have happened before in a lot of books, and we will give you some links to some of these things. That more and more time out, which we will kind of go through quite quickly because we feel that you probably know an awful lot about time out already.
Yeah.
And then time in. So time out is about behaviours that you can't ignore, such as destructive, dangerous behaviours or for non-compliance. However, time out should be used sparingly, so using praise and reward and consequences should be attempted first.
Mm.
So they say time out is like ignoring, in fact they think it's super ignoring. So what they do here, and I'm just going to sort of talk it out because I know that most of you will know time out, it's about finding a good place in the house for time out. So they're saying it should be boring, safe, not scary, somewhere you can keep an eye on your child, and a good place is at the bottom of the stairs. You explain time out to your children, discuss with your children that they need to know what's going to happen in time out in advance. So this would depend on the age of the child. But they say at a minimum, the child should know that this new thing is called time out, which will be used sometimes. They should know that the point of time out is to help them calm down.
Mm. And I think that's really important. I used to watch Super Nanny when my children were little, and time out was very much used as almost a punitive method, and was called, I think, the naughty step, in fact. And I think that's quite harmful for a child to believe that they are naughty, the behaviour is naughty. So very much things have moved towards using time out to calm down.
Yeah. We often say that we'll do time out, don't we?
Yes.
Instead of the children. So they should know that the parents will take them to a quiet place and will leave them. They would have to stay there until they are calm and their parents say they can come out. Parents should try to explain this to the child before the first time you use it.
Mm.
So the rules for timeout. Timeout should last for 1 minute for each of the child's life, up to a maximum of 5 minutes. So for a 3-year-old, it'd be 3 minutes and so on. However, the child also needs to stay in timeout until they have been calm for 2 minutes. This can be done, this can mean the timeout lasts quite a few, while, the first few times that you try it. If the child leaves timeout, the parent should calmly return them until they stay where they're put. Just like during ignoring, during timeout, the parent should not give the child any attention at all unless they have to. And there should be no touching unless returning a child who has walked out of timeout. There should be no speaking, even if returning the child who has walked out of timeout. The only time that parents should speak to them is when they first tell the child that they are going to timeout. So after timeout, the parent should find something to praise as soon as possible, even if it is just praising the child for calming down. The misdemeanor should be forgotten about, which is really important.
Yeah.
They've served their time, they've come out, and then you would invite them to sort of do something. Sometimes children refuse to leave timeout, and this is fine. The parents should just leave them there until they come out of their own accord. If a child repeats the unwanted behaviour, the parent should repeat the timeout. So, time out on the anxious child, there are a couple of extra points. So time out is not meant to be frightening, it's just meant to be boring, and time out can be used by children who want, and also time out can be used by children who want to get out of doing something scary. So for example, one child that we work with would try to get put into time out and then throw tantrums for long periods to get out of going to parties or doing similar things that they were scared of. So I think it's about noticing if your child's doing that, because then that's avoidance of going somewhere. Time in is very much about, as we've said, I mean, in this one, you would take your child a bit like when we're talking about taking your child if their consequence was to take them away from friends or a group. Take them away, have a conversation with them, help them to calm down, because very small children will not be able to calm themselves down. So a toddler throwing a tantrum will need us to calm them down. Yeah. And talk about the feelings that they're having. To say, you know, I know that you're feeling really upset or angry or frustrated, and frustration is when you want something you can't have it, but we just need to calm down now. So you would spend that time with them. So instead of time out where they go and they're on their own, you would be in time out with them really, basically, and have the conversation about what was going on for them to help them manage their feelings and name them for them.
Definitely. It's about knowing your child or getting to know your child in terms of what will help them. Some children want to be on their own. And I can remember a family saying, actually, it exacerbates things if they try and go and be with the child. So some children will respond better to time out. But definitely some children need time in. If you think, you know, your child, you're probably thinking about using time out because your child has become very emotional, maybe very angry. So they're already in a very distressed state. Yeah. To then separate them and leave them on their own can really escalate that distress for some children, probably particularly
very small children. When they're allowed to calm down.
Yes.
They need us to help them, to regulate them, to bring them down and explain the feeling that they're feeling, because two-year-olds won't know the feeling they're feeling.
Absolutely.
So we need to help them to regulate, to calm, and we need to be there with them to help them do those things.
And it might be that when you sit with your child, you'll do some breathing techniques. Some children like a tight hug. Mm. But what you are doing is you are helping them recognise their feelings and learn how to deal with those feelings. Okay. We've pretty much come to the end of what we're going to talk about in these sessions. But to just have a think about kind of what to expect going forward, and then we're just going to look a little bit about getting school involved. But what to expect going forward, we all have good days and bad days, and things don't go in a straight line. So hopefully, either now or depending how quickly you've watched these sessions, you will see some progress in your children with their anxious behaviours. And then for whatever reason, you might suddenly feel that you're back at square one and your child, who had been making such good progress, has dipped right back down. Try not to panic. This does happen for whatever reason. Could be the child's unwell or for whatever reason. Try not to panic. That is completely normal and you will be able to move forward again, but it's completely normal to sort of shift around a bit. And I think the other thing to talk about is looking after yourselves as parents. It is a very hard job, and particularly if we have anxious children who demand a lot of our attention and reassurance that we've talked about, it can be really hard going. So we really would urge you to look after yourselves, find some time for yourselves to build up your own sort of self-esteem and resilience so that you can kind of better be the parent that you want to be in terms of being patient and understanding.
We often discuss about parents who, we ask them, you know, what do they do to take care of themselves, and they say nothing. And we said, but if you don't take care of yourself, you won't be in a strong enough place to take care of your children.
Yeah.
Because it will be challenging. We know.
Absolutely.
That children are challenging.
And I can remember, well, I say I can remember, but working with CAMHS, the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Service, working with one of their workers with a family, she said a lovely sentence that I wrote down, which is, if we are not holding the parents, how can they hold the child? Mm. So it is so important that you help yourselves and that we hold the parents as much as we can. Before we end, we're just going to touch very briefly on getting school to help, because even if the anxiety is just an issue that is showing at home, it can still be helpful to get school involved, certainly to be aware of it. And there may well be things that they can do in school that will help, even if it's not directly related to something that's happening in school. So do talk to your school. We work with you work wider than me, but I work with all the schools in Alton and the outlying villages. And all the schools that I work with, they're very concerned about children's mental health and would want to help. So talk to those schools, either the class teacher, or you might want to talk to the SENCO, who's the Special Educational Needs Coordinator, who will be able to put in some special work or something for the child. Tell the school what you're working on and ask them to praise those brave behaviours and recognise it. Because for children, quite often the recognition from school is really important to them. So if you can get school on board as well with recognising and praising those brave behaviours, it can really help. Encourage participation. So sometimes if children are anxious about, for example, going into assembly, the school might feel the kindest thing to do is to not to is for the child to not go into assembly. think back to your pushing up the mountain. We need to encourage our children carefully to do that. So get the school on board in trying to do that as well. Help the school to help your child. So even if you feel a bit underconfident about going into school and start giving advice on how the school can help your child's anxiety, just remember that you are your child's, you know your child better than anyone else. And if you feel there are things that might help your child, then don't hesitate to talk to them. Two other sort of key points for us as parents is to keep drop-offs and pick-ups at school as calm as possible. It can be very difficult if our children are distressed at leaving us. But if we mirror that distress, that's going to increase the child's anxiety. So we need to try and find ways that we can keep calm when we're dropping off our children at school, and work with school in that, because they will have come across this before. They will have strategies that have worked in the past that they're willing to try with children. And finally, don't criticise the school in front of your child. Again, it's something that's easy to do if you're having a difficult time or you don't agree with the way the school is handling something. Discuss that away from your child. Your child needs to believe that you believe that school is a safe, nurturing environment for them. If they pick up that you have some anxieties or disagreements with the school, that's not going to help their anxiety at all. So make sure in front of the child, even if elsewhere that's not the case, you're positive about school. And absolutely, that will definitely help your child.
Okay, so many thanks for watching, and we hope that you have found these sessions helpful. Hopefully you'll be able to make some changes and help your anxious child. You should be proud of yourself for what you've done for your child, but don't expect perfection of yourself or your child.
Absolutely.
Good luck, and please don't hesitate to contact us if you think we can be of help.
And our contact details will be at the end. And we're going to also have a session next week, an open live session, aren't we? For
I'll send you the link.
Yes, where we can have a discussion about how things are going.